The Bay of Moonlight by Rose Burley. Narrated by Jerry Allen for Saga Egmont. Chapter 1. While her aunt packed feverishly in the hotel bedroom, Sarah sat on the balcony and watched the Saratola children playing in the garden. It was a delightfully secluded garden, a little like an English garden with its fine lawns and shady trees, but essentially Portuguese, in that it abounded in neat clipped hedges and tucked away arbours approached by ordinary tiled paths. The flowers, too, were quite un-English, and so was the overhanging arc of intensely blue sky. And above all, the wonderful golden shower of sunlight that created lilac shadows beneath the trees and crisscrossed the paths with white-hot bars that had the qualities of burning glass if one ventured onto them heedlessly without the protection of either a hat or dark glasses. The Saratola children spent hours of every day in the garden, and although their play was conducted soberly, there was no doubt about it, they enjoyed themselves. Their mother, who had brought them to the hotel in the charge of an elderly nanny, had flown off to England almost immediately after their arrival, and it seemed there was no one else to take an interest in them during the long, hot hours of daylight. Sarah had made a point of speaking to them on several occasions, and she had learned that their names were Maria and Roberto. Maria was 2 years older than Roberto, but so small and thin, and generally underdeveloped, that Roberto appeared to be far older than she was. He had rather a charming air of recognising his physical superiority and extending to her some highly necessary protection, and she, with her slow black eyes and slightly furtive glances, was never more than a foot or so away from his side. The hotel treated them with impressive respect and turned a blind eye to any depredations they caused in the flower borders. It was quite obvious that the name of Saratola meant a good deal to the management, and as a result, the two lonely but strikingly attractive youngsters, each, however, in an entirely different way, received something in the nature of VIP treatment. Their mother, who was also a strikingly beautiful and very elegant young woman, with the same shining fair hair and Anglo-Saxon blue eyes as those that set Roberto apart from his sister, had received rather more than VIP treatment on arrival, and her departure had been watched with openly regretful looks by the entire assembled staff, or so it had seemed to Sarah when she encountered them all in the entrance while a long black Mercedes took the Signora away to the airport. The children had been pelting one another with brightly coloured balloons, while Sarah's aunt Constance had been preoccupied with her packing. But at the very moment that she appeared on the balcony to announce that it was all completed, Maria's balloon burst, and she quite uninhibitedly burst into tears. Sarah leaned from the balcony and addressed her urgently. "It's all right, Maria. I'll buy you another," she promised. Roberto put his arm about his sister's shoulders and called politely, "There's no need, Signorita. She can have mine." Aunt Constance spoke in an amused voice. "Really, my dear, the way you fuss over those children, I'm not surprised you've decided to take up child welfare, or whatever you call it, when you get home to England. You seem to have a positive bent for it. But it would be much better, in my opinion, if you got married and had children of your own." Sarah turned and smiled at her. "All finished, Aunt Constance?" she asked her. "I really should have helped you, but I know you prefer to do these things on your own. You've done so much packing in your life, you must be quite expert by now." Constance Cunningham conceded that in her own not particularly humble private opinion, there were few people who could more expeditiously dispose of their wardrobe and immediate personal possessions in the short space of time that she could, and have them ready for collection by hotel porters. "As a matter of fact, I'm feeling terribly guilty," she admitted, sinking into a chair and stretching her long, slim feet in handmade shoes out in front of her, and delving into her crocodile handbag at the same time for her cigarette case. She was a handsome woman of 45, who travelled constantly from one part of the